Hello, and welcome to an overview of applied statistics. I will try in the following to see what I can do to give you my best version of an overview of all the things we're going to go through in the course of applied statistics. Of course, it all starts from data. The data is the central point, and well, it's because of data that we even do statistics. So what can we do with data? Well, the obvious first thing is to say, well, how about we plot it? Looking at your data, and that means even looking at single values, printing the first 10 examples and plotting what your data looks like is essential. If you don't look at the data, you will surely make a lot of mistakes. And you might conceive things as they are not. So look at that. It's not that simple, because in one dimension it might be solvable, but in many dimensions, this is a hard thing. What can you also do? Well, if you want to know something about data, how about at least knowing what the mean is and how wide it distributes itself? So from that, well, we do look at estimators in general, of which the mean and width are a special case of that. Now, plotting, back to that, can be done with both histograms, but it can also be done with so-called scatter plots. And that's a two-dimensional type of plotting where you put, well, the x on one axis and y on the other, and every point is an entry in whatever data you have. The histogram simply sums it up. That can be done in two dimensions. But typically it's done in one. In two dimensions, it requires a lot of statistics. So once you have a scatter plot, you start seeing how X and Y have a relation, or maybe not, but this has to do with correlation. And more so, correlation is information. All right, now, all of this is fine, but estimators without uncertainties is typically not that valuable. You might know a value, but if you don't know the uncertainty, well, then it could in principle be anything. So uncertainties is another thing which is central. And uncertainties actually come in several forms. They come in statistical uncertainty, which is because you have limited statistics. If you only observe the height of five persons, say, then talking about the average height of a population, well, that comes with a certain uncertainty simply from the fact that you only have five candidates. Who knows if those five are representative? Of course, if you had a million, then suddenly the uncertainty would go down. But even if you had, I don't know, a million measurements of the length of the table here, if that was done with, well, a 30 centimeter ruler, for example, then even with a million measurements, you would never get it super accurate. There would always be some bias from the fact, or some uncertainty from the fact, that maybe the ruler wasn't good, maybe the way it was put after each other wasn't perfect, so on. And those we consider systematic uncertainties. And we'll talk more about what those types are. Behind uncertainties comes also confidence intervals. That is to say, within what range do I feel that this variable should fall from the data? And finally, when you have uncertainties or errors, then propagating those uncertainties onto the results that you're actually interested in is something that you should know. And that would correspond to, well, if I know the length of the table and the width of the table, well, if I want to know the area, then of course an uncertainty on the length and the width would propagate somehow to the area. Knowing how to do that is also vital. Error propagation. So that comes from uncertainties. Now, one of the, I would say, most solid underlying principles of statistics is likelihood. Simply saying that, well, when we see data and we're thinking about what model, what estimator and so on, well, how about the most likely? And this principle governs, I would say, almost everything in statistics. So the likelihood is a central concept in statistics. And so actually, likelihood dictates what uncertainties look like, what estimators look like. All of those, when you do an average, why is the average good? Well, that actually comes from the principle of likelihood. So data certainly also has to do with likelihood. And behind likelihood comes the concept of fitting. You have some data and you have a model, but the model has maybe one, maybe many parameters that you don't know, that you want to extract from the data. You want to match the model to the data, and you want to, of course, want to do that best in the best possible way. Well, maximizing the likelihood of this model matching the data is, of course, something nice to do. Let me quickly jump to something slightly different. You will see in a moment why. Well, over here, we also have the fact that often you want to simulate data. Why is that? Well, that's because data can be expensive to get. And if you want to understand a complicated process, well, if you can simulate it and see that whatever your simulation has in matches the real data, well, then you're in good shape. So it's not always that we can fit things, because the model with which we fit might be complicated. We might need to simulate things. And also, I should mention data. I talked about one and two dimensional data, but data can come in very high dimensionality, meaning you might have a patient and you know the age and you know the height and you know the weight and you know the blood pressure and you know, I don't know, a million things about this one patient, and then you have a list of patients. Well, then these patients live in a very high dimensional space, and understanding that data and the relations between it can be hard. It is hard. Actually, this is, in general, multivariate analysis. And what do we do with that? Well, one of the new technologies that's been great at attacking this is machine learning. But we're not going to venture deep into machine learning in this course. We have other courses for that, which sort of builds upon statistics. And of course, this has to do with scatterplot and correlations and so on. Now, simulation, again, what can you do with that? Well, first of all, how do you do it? And there are, in principle, two ways of getting random numbers out from a certain distribution. The smart way, I would say, is called transformation. Can you, in some way, transform the numbers so that you take a uniform distribution of random numbers and apply some function to it, and now it gives you the distribution you want? The answer is yes, sometimes. But the requirements are that you can integrate and then invert, and that's not often that you can do that. The brute force, I have fast computer type approach, is that you do it with a method called accept reject. And we'll get more into what that is. The great thing is that these two can actually be combined, which is nice because, well, some distributions are too hard for that one and, well, not very efficient with that one, but together they play well. And what can you other also do with simulation? Well, what you want to do often is that you want to design an experiment, because the unforeseen might happen, or you haven't thought it through, or you want to know how well you can measure something if you get, I don't know, 1,000 patients or a billion measurements of this. How well can you do? Well, you simulate it, and using that, you can design experiment. And then something I would say often overlooked is that simulation allows you to cross-check things. You simulate things, and then You use whatever analysis you use on the data, you use it on the simulation, and then you see if you get the numbers out of that analysis that you put into the simulation. If you don't, well, stop at that point and see what's wrong. But once you prove that that happens in your simulation, there's at least a good chance that you haven't made a bug and that it will work when you apply it to the real data. I'm just gonna call it check. All right, now continuing on this side here, we have the likelihood. And it turns out that the likelihood is great, but it's also slightly complicated to get to function well. And the worst part is that if you do a fit with the likelihood, it can actually be hard to know if the fit is really good. You might get the best fit, but you don't know if it's good or not. It turns out that the likelihood simplifies in case of Gaussian uncertainties to what's called the chi-square. And this is not only a, I would say, a simpler version, it also has assumptions, of course, but here you can actually check if the fit is good or not. So the chi-square you also use for fitting. And, well, what do you do fitting with? What are the typical models? Well, models can be anything, but it turns out that quite a few pertain to, well, some distribution that's just comes out natural. And some of the distribution, well, distributions in general are called PDFs, probability density functions. And there are quite a few of these. And well, this is actually what the data contains. It can be both discrete, meaning the numbers come out 0 to infinity, but just 1, 2, 3. Or it can be continuous. The discrete ones, the most classic ones, are the binomial distribution and the Poisson distribution. However, I would say it's in the continuous that the most ubiquitous distribution is. That's the Gaussian distribution, also called the normal distribution by some. This is simply the unit distribution of statistics. And it turns out that all of the other distributions tend towards that one in, well, a special limit. We'll get back to that. What else? Well, in physics and many other places, the exponential distribution would be one. And then because of computers, we actually like the uniform distribution. So there are many types of PDFs, and sort of fitting is typically done with two components, namely you have some data and you have a model, and all of that fits into the fitting. And what do you use for it? You use the chi-square and the likelihood. All right, so that was the PDF part. Now, in the end, typically you want to ask a question. Does this data match this theory or does it match that theory? What? Which hypothesis of the two is the most likely, and how much more likely? Can we point at one and, well, disregard the other? And in fact, this is called hypothesis testing, and you would think it's about pointing at the good model. No, it's actually about rejecting the bad models. That's what you can do. And so hypothesis testing takes central role in statistics. This is often what you want to do. Now, hypothesis testing, for that, there are some assumptions. So there are different types of tests, and they each have a basic set of assumptions. We won't go too much into this, but it should be considered. And that's because often in real data, these assumptions are at some level violated, and well, then how much can you violate them, still use the test? Well, this is up to experience, and that is why this course is called applied statistics. You need to have tried it before you see what works and what doesn't work. Now, there are two types of tests that are classic here. There's a Z-test, and there's a T-test, and they're very similar. Now, also, there are some more advanced tests. There is the Anderson-Darling test, which we'll only briefly touch upon. A more common one, which is quite useful, is the Kolmogorov test, or Kolmogorov-Smirnov test. This is quite useful in testing if two distributions are alike. And finally, it might be that in hypothesis testing, you actually have more variables. Usually you just want it boiled down to one number that you can look at. Say you want to know if people are smart or not, well, you want to measure the IQ. But it might be that there are many other observables which sort of influence your gut feeling, is this person smart or not? And the way to deal with that is typically to combine them. You can combine things in a linear way, and this works quite well, generally, if things are linear. This is called a Fisher discriminant. If things are not linear and you want to combine a lot of it, well, again, this is where machine learning takes its place. So machine learning is a way of combining high dimensional data into a single number from which you can test hypotheses and take a decision. And so this and multivariate analysis sort of have a connection. And that's about it. This is applied statistics. And the directions on the board you can consider is that upwards, this is where you want to describe the data. In this way, this is where you want to model the data. So here you more want to know if a model fits or not. This set, well, down direction, this is where you want to test the data. Test if this hypothesis or that hypothesis is the most likely one. And in this direction, this is simulation of the data. And this is more and more used simply because we have big, fast computers, and simulating things into the millions and into great detail is something that can be done nowadays. That was a quick overview, and I've taken the liberty of putting this overview, which to you might look strange just because I'm putting it on a board on a video, but I've put it down also to a one page. It should look, well, a bit like that. And in this, I've also put the references to where can I read about all of this. In general, I'd say you can read about all of this on Wikipedia, and the articles are generally quite good. But I've put references to books because oftentimes this is a good introductory level to read it at. And in some cases, I've put links to web pages simply because they describe things better. I hope that this gave just a little bit of an overview. We will, of course, go through this much more detail when we get to the course. Looking forward to seeing you.